The passage of Scripture that I have chosen for my message today is very special to me. A little over 5 years ago, my only daughter died of cancer, and she requested that I preach her funeral. And I chose this Scripture as the text for that message that I preached a little over 5 years ago at her memorial service. And it's found in Revelation 7. I want you to look at it with me this morning. I want to talk to you about the vision of John. That's the topic. That's the title of the message, the vision of John. And it's found in Revelation 7. We'll begin reading with verse 9. And John wrote, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb, and all the angels round about the throne, and the elders and the four beasts about the throne fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. And then the sevenfold blessing. They said, Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now, the Apostle John is on the Isle of Patmos in exile. He's the last of the apostles. All the apostles were dead at this time, we believe. John's in his 90s. And the Lord God is pleased to give him a revelation. It's called in your Bible, in the King James translation, the revelation of John the Baptist. But really, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is pleased to give John a revelation of Jesus Christ, a revelation of the glories of his eternal kingdom, and a revelation of the joys of heaven. I believe this scripture can be better understood. I believe I'll be able to help you with it if I divide it into three parts, under three headings. First of all, let's talk about what John saw. What did John see? And then I want to talk about what John heard. John heard something. And then I want to speak on what John learned. So first of all, let's talk about what John saw. He said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne." John saw a great multitude. A great multitude, he said, which no man could number. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. Someone said that's a definite number for an indefinite number. Here on the earth, John saw a small number of believers. Probably on the Isle of Patmos, he was the only one. In 1 John 5:19, this is what John wrote, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." And then we know there were but 12 disciples. And at the cross, there was no one to declare his generation. All men forsook him. He walked the winepress of God's wrath alone. And then after our Lord died and was buried and rose again, it says in Acts 1:15, "In those days Peter stood in the midst of the believers. The number and names were about 120. But in heaven there's a great multitude which no man could number." So many you can't count them. God showed this to Abraham, that the people in glory would be more than you could number. He took Abraham out under the stars one night, and he said, "Count the stars. Can you count the stars?" Abraham said, "No." He said, "Well, that's how many seed you'll have." Well, he wasn't talking about the Arabs and the Jews and all these people that descended from Abraham. He was talking about believers. He was talking about believers. Because in Galatians 3:29, it says, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. If you don't belong to Christ, you're not Abraham's seed. In Galatians 3:16 says, the promise of God was not to seeds, but to seed, which is Christ. So we're children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. So God showed Abraham. He said, there's going to be as many people in heaven as there are stars in the sky. That's right. And in Psalm 24, our Lord is called the Lord of hosts. A host is not a few. A host is not a handful. A host is many, many, many. And John, listen to this. He said, I saw a multitude. I beheld and I saw a multitude which no man could number, of all nations, of all kindreds. How many kindreds? Of all people, of all tongues. How many? The Bible's been translated into over 1,000 tongues. There's tongues, tribal tongues and dialects all over this. There's going to be somebody out of every tongue in heaven. How can this be? How can this be? Well, the gospel hasn't even been preached to every tongue or every kindred or every people. I was in a meeting some time ago, been several years ago, and a man, a school teacher, an older man, came to me and told me a story, and then he asked me a question. Well, here's the story. He had one daughter, and she had one son. His little grandson was 2 years old. And his little grandson was the apple of his eye. His little grandson died, and it devastated him. He said, my little grandson never joined a church, never made a profession, never confessed Christ. Is my little grandson in heaven? I said, well, would you take the word of a man whom God called a man after his own heart? Would you take the word of a man whom God designated as a writer of Scripture? Would you take the word of a man whom God called the sweet psalmist of all of Israel? He said, yes. I said, well, David's that man. And David had a little baby boy born to him, and that little baby boy died. And David washed his face, and David says, let's have a feast. This little boy is with the Lord. And David said, he can't come back to me, but I fully intend to go to him. So that's the words of David. David got his comfort straight from God Almighty. And he passes it on to us through the word. The old timers called them elect infants. Elect infants. And I'm telling you this. Think of the millions and millions and millions of infants. There's not a tribe, a nation, a tongue, or a people, or a kindred that hasn't had babies die. Every one of them are in glory. That's what I'm saying. And I've never known one preacher, evangelical preacher, or one writer, and I've done some studying of all the old writers, not one has ever said that those who die in infancy perish. There's a lady in Virginia, a lady who lived in a log cabin where the Blue Ridge Parkway now stands. Her name was Arlena Puckett. Arlena Puckett. She lived in this little log cabin up there where the Blue Ridge Parkway now is located. And she was a midwife. She delivered babies. And she herself gave birth, listen to me, to 22 babies. And they all died. Every one of them was born dead or else died right shortly after birth. I tell you this, more babies have died than have ever survived. And John said, I saw a multitude composed of every nation, tribe, kindred, tongue, people under God's heaven. That's right. And then something else John saw. He said they stood before the throne. They all stood before the throne, before the Lamb. You know, Psalm 1 says the ungodly shall not stand in God's judgment. Psalm 24 says this, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy presence? Who can stand in God's holy presence? David in Psalm 130 said, Lord, if you would mark iniquity, nobody could stand. But John said, I saw him. I saw a multitude which no man can number, and they were standing before the throne of God. They were standing there. They were standing. But here's the key. Here's the key word. Before the throne of God and before the Lamb. You see, God's throne is a throne of judgment and a throne of majesty and a throne of power. But the Lamb, through His precious blood, through His death on the cross, has turned God's throne into a throne of grace. If you have a Lamb, if you have the blood of the Lamb, you can stand before God. You can stand before the throne. Abel, he came to worship God, and he brought a lamb and slew that lamb. And God had respect to Abel and his offering. Abel and his offering. God received them. Welcome. Abraham told Isaac, God will provide a lamb. Welcome. Moses and Israel slew a lamb, put the blood on the door, and God said, welcome. I'll pass over you. I see the blood. I see the blood. I see the blood of the Lamb. John the Baptist said, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin. These people stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Without a Lamb, you don't stand there. Without a Lamb, you don't come there. Without a Lamb, you're not accepted. You're not welcome. Because the Lamb of God has died. God's throne of judgment and holiness and majesty becomes a throne of grace, a throne of mercy to all who believe. I tell you this, if God should bring an unrighteous, unholy man, unwashed person before His throne, that person would perish at the sight of God. No man can look on God and live. He'd perish at the sight of God. You see, God doesn't have to put forth an effort to destroy evil. His presence destroys evil. His very presence destroys evil. As light dispels darkness. Turn on the light. Where does the darkness go? The light blew it away. And before God's awesome holiness, you bring your sins in yourself and not on Christ, it'll blow you away. You won't even be seen. Darkness disappears in the presence of God like heat melts ice. The ungodly shall not stand in His presence. But you can stand there if you got a lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has died, opening the door of heaven wide. All who believe are justified freely from all sin. Listen to me. The Word of God declares plainly, Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of this man here is in his blood. Take my blood out, I'm gone. Infect my blood, I die. If my blood's permeated with sin, I die. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And the life of the spiritual man in the blood of the Lamb. That's right. You can't live without your blood, and you can't live spiritually without His blood. God said, the life of the soul is in the blood of Christ. I have given it to you. I gave you this blood on the altar. I gave my life a ransom for many. I put the blood on the mercy seat. I give my blood as a ransom, as an atonement for your souls. Hebrews 9:24 says, Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, not into an earthly temple or tabernacle, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, not with the blood of an animal, but with His own precious blood. And Peter said, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. What did John say? A multitude, no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, and tongues, stood before God, before the Lamb, accepted in the Beloved, received, dwelling in the presence of God. And he said, what did he say? Secondly, they were clothed with white robes. They were all dressed alike. They were all clothed alike in the robe of his perfect righteousness. They were clothed with white robes. White signifies purity. Purity, perfection. They were clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Everybody had on the right wedding garment. They were from different nations, same garment. They were different ages. Some died young, some died old, but they had the same garment. They were different years of service. Some of them knew the Lord for a long time. Some, like the thief on the cross, a very short time. Same robe. There are no degrees in glory. We wear the same thing. We wear his robe of righteousness. We're accepting the beloved. We're all loved alike. No rewards for special service. Christ is our reward. It says in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in my Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he, I didn't do it, he did it. He hath clothed me with a garment of salvation. He hath covered me with his robe of righteousness. John said, I beheld, I saw a multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, and tongues. And they stood before the throne of God and before the Lamb, and they were clothed with white robes, and they had palms in their hands. Palms in their hands. What does this mean, preacher? Well, these are palms of victory. For years and years and years and years, way back yonder, palm branches from the palm tree has been an emblem of victory. The conquerors wore crowns of palms, and they carried palm branches, the victors, the conquerors. And when our Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, what does the scripture say? The people met him with palm branches. Palm branches. And they threw them at his feet. And our Lord rode over them. And they cried, Hosanna to the King who cometh in the name of the Lord. The white robes signify holiness. Clothed in his holiness and righteousness. The palms signify victory. The war is over. The battle's won. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? All the conquerors bring their palms to the Lamb on the throne and proclaim in joyful songs victory through the blood alone. This is what John saw. A multitude which no man could number, from every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, standing, accepted before the throne of God, accepted in the beloved because of the Lamb, clothed in perfect holiness, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, in his righteousness, victorious forever through the blood of the Lamb. Well, what John hear? And he said, this multitude before the throne cried with a loud voice. A loud voice. Did you notice that John didn't say they cried with loud voices? He said, this multitude cried with a loud voice. They had one song. One song. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto our God, to him be the glory, both now and forever. They had one song. They had one message. They had one voice. John said it sounded like one voice. In perfect unison, in perfect harmony, they all sang the same song. Salvation to our God. Salvation is of the Lord, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. That's what John wrote in Revelation 1:5. He said, this is a song of heaven. Unto him who loved us, to him who washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him who made us kings and priests unto our God, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. The multitude cried with one voice, salvation is of the Lord. And then he says, all the angels around the throne and all the elders join with them, and they all fell before the Lamb, every knee bowed and every tongue confessed, salvation is of the Lord. Every knee, every tongue, the multitude, the angels, the elders, all cried with one voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." You know, God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess he's the Lord. Now, there may be people on earth now who brag of their own righteousness, but nobody there. Nobody there. They're singing about the Lamb. There may be people on earth who boast of their religious works, what they're doing for God, but not in heaven. That's not the song of heaven. There may be people on this earth who do not believe that salvation is a gift of God, but everybody there knows it is. There may be people here who do not rest in the blood, trust in the blood, preach the blood of Christ. But there, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. There may be people on earth who believe there's a way to heaven other than through the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross, but not in heaven. Not in heaven. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, slain and nailed to Calvary's cross. There may be people on earth who believe that his death is not effectual and not sufficient, but not there. Listen to their song. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb who loved us. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us. He called us. He sought us. He saved us. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. He loved us. And he washed us. He cleansed us. He made us kings and priests unto God. To him be the glory. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall and bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Crown him, Lord of all. What did John hear? He heard that multitude in one voice. He heard them say, "Salvation is of the Lord." And then he heard a sevenfold blessing. I told you that just a moment ago when I read verse 12. The multitude, the angels, the elders, all gave the glory to God. All the glory to God. Here's the sevenfold blessing. They said, blessing. God is the source of all blessings. They said, glory. All that God does is to the praise of his glory. If you read Ephesians 1, it talks about the work of the Father. What he did for us, chose us, redeemed us, accepted us to the praise of his glory. Talks about the Son, enlightened us, illuminated us, forgave our sins to the praise of his glory. Talked about the Spirit to the praise of his glory. All glory to God. All glory. Wisdom, divine wisdom displayed in salvation. Christ is the wisdom of God. Thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Honor. He that honoreth the Son, God will honor. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. This is so powerful. Honor. Honor God. Power. Christ is the power of God. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And strength. The strength is in Christ. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from wrath. Make me pure. That's the sevenfold blessing. If you're going to sing it there, you've got to learn it here. Now that's just a fact. If you're going to sing it there, you're going to learn it here. Blessing to God. Bless God. Glory, all the glory. Wisdom, God's wisdom. Don't match wisdom wits with God. Don't bring your natural wisdom to God's word. Wisdom, Christ is wisdom. Thanksgiving, honor, power, strength. Well, what did John learn? This is the last point. We know what he saw. We know what he heard. What he learned. And one of the elders said to me, verse 13, "Who are these? Who are these, this multitude of every nation, people, kindred, tongue, arrayed in white robes with the palms of victory. Who are they? Where did they come from? And I said, sir, you know. And so does everyone up here know who they are and whence they came. Here's who they are. Here's who they are. They came out of great tribulation. Now, that's not talking about the 7 year tribulation folks talk about. That talks about in this world you'll have tribulation. Everybody listening to my voice, if he's a believer, he's had tribulation. They lived on this earth, and all of them had their particular life story and history, but they have two things in common. They knew trial, they knew sorrow, they knew pain, they knew tears, and they learned something about death. All of God's people know something about those things. They came through great tribulation. Here's the second thing they've got in common. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They all heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and washed their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ. Who are these, this multitude? These are folks off the earth who came through great tribulation, but they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And now, their future. He said, they're before the throne of God. They dwell there. They serve God daily, the new heaven, new earth, in His temple. The Lord dwells with them. God said, I'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Former things have passed away. They'll be my people and I'll be their God. They'll never hunger and thirst. The sun, the heat of trial, labor, and toil will never light on them. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the old earth shall be remembered no more. What a joy. What a blessing. If you want this tape, The Vision of John, write for it. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. Till next week, God bless you.